TuneIn Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I've got a quick announcement to start off the show. You're on the clock with Erin Green. It's Wednesday, the 25th of October, and I want to tell all my Hannah Hasty Tynes family members that we have a general meeting tonight at 6 p.m. at St. John's College in the Emerald Room. Hannah Hasty Tynes Family Association General Meeting tonight, 6 p.m., St. John's College, the Emerald Room. Please come out and see what's up with the reunion planning. Come join a committee. Get a rundown of our latest fundraiser. But come out, see your family. Today is another Man Down Mashup Wednesday session where we blend On the Clock with Guardian Radio AM for 2 hours to discuss what's in the news. I have this morning in studio Mr. Ian Munnings. Good morning, Mr. Munnings.
That's a good morning. How are you this morning, Erin?
I am good, thank you. We're just waiting for Mr. Newry.
It's going to be an explosive one this morning.
I mean, look here. I have 3 pages of notes from stories over the last week to 2 weeks that I want to touch on, right? And then I pick up this morning's paper and see that we may not touch on any of the things that I prepared to talk about this morning. Let me tell you what's on my list. And then we're going to delve into the newspapers, into the headlines, and see what else is up for grabs to talk about this morning. So here are the 2 stories I had. PM recommits to citizenship bill. It's 24th of October. That's yesterday's paper, Guardian. And ask immigration minister for citizenship help. That was in yesterday's Tribune. Very interesting compilation of stories worthy of our attention. Another story I would love to touch on this morning, if we have time. Mitchell says convention first. Then it will be time to vote. I could tell you, Mr. Ian, right off the top, because I like to declare my biases, right? I would tell you right off the top. I like prioritizing governance over politics.
Any day of the week.
That's what I, right? We have to prioritize governance over politics. And I know it's just a headline, right? In fact, I know that the PLP party didn't even write the headline. Like, you know, I can acknowledge that they're not responsible. Good morning. Welcome back. We're sorry about that. The commercial plane over the sound. We weren't quite sure what was happening, but I have a feeling that it has something to do with Mr. C.A. Newry. He's finally joined us in the building. I'm just going to say that he didn't want us to start the show without him. He probably thought it was a bit unfair that we get the lead in this matter.
Long and short, technical difficulties. But it's working now. People can hear us. I mean, I'm not sure how much conversation is here, able to hear, but we were wondering if the mic was on, but we're here now.
Yeah.
Fox had a lot of saying for that.
What do they call that?
The old bear man.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not sure if you heard the intro of the show, so I'm going to open it again.
Go ahead.
If you did, bear with us. It's Wednesday, the 25th of October, 2023, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. If it's a Wednesday, that means it's a Man Down mashup on the clock Guardian Radio AM session, and we're delving into what is in the news. So here we go. Let me start the show again. Hasty Tynes family members, we have a general meeting tonight, 6 p.m., St. John's College, the Emerald room, please come out and attend. Mr. Newry, before you came into the studio, I was letting the audience and Mr. Ian know that I had a list of topics for us to touch on today in the sort of rapid-fire method, the manner that you use, so we could touch as many as possible. And I created a large list, but opening up today's papers, there's even more to talk about. So we're going to start with what I have on my list, and then we're going to go into the newspapers. First article, PM recommits to citizenship bill in yesterday's Guardian. Second article, ask immigration minister for citizenship help. Nassau Tribune, yesterday's Tribune. And then Mitchell says, convention first, then it will be time to vote. That's kind of where we stopped. I was letting Mr. Munnings know that this particular headline troubles me. I acknowledge that the PLP didn't write the headline. They're not responsible for how newspapers present the news. But this headline is troubling. Mitchell says, convention first, then it will be time to vote. And it's troubling because it appears to me that this particular iteration of a PLP and prior governments, PLP and FNM, have begun prioritizing politics over governance, right? And I think that this is a reflection of the thinking of the political culture in the party right now. Convention first, then it'll be time to vote in the by-election. If I were a member of the PLP party, I would be up in arms. Of the mantle so that I could have arms, but I would be up in arms if I were a member of the PLP party and then I heard this statement from my chairman that we're going to have convention first, and then we're going to vote second, right? I would also be concerned after utterances from Shane Gibson, who requested that the party adhere to the constitutional provisions of the party in terms of the voting procedure, right? And he called for what he called the blind voting, anonymous voting. And that, apparently that didn't happen. Now, I wasn't there, but we had a caller call in and tell us what happened on the voting floor of the event. If I were PLP, I'd be very concerned that my chairman is telling us that we're going to go to convention first and then by election. I'd want to go to by election first and then convention. What do you think, Mr. Munnings?
I think that some things were already pre-planned. You have to look at some things might be already pre-planned before the time of the by-election. So because of the arrangements and everything that you consider, that might be not the possible time to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. However, right, if we prioritize in governance over politics, can't the convention date shift? Can't that shift? Isn't that the thing that is more versus the by-election that has strict constitutional rules about how, when and how it should happen?
We have 60 days for the by-election, all kind of time. But the PLP has some concerns that need to be addressed now. That's why it's in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
people have been asking for this convention for 2 years now. No one being asked for no by-election for 2 years.
See, but pause, that's disingenuous.
I'm just saying, anyone, no. You know anyone? Were you asking for a by-election 2 years ago?
Nobody was.
I know we've been asking for a convention for 2 years ago.
So two things. A, that's disingenuous.
I just said.
Right? B, from recent commentary on the radio, it appears that people have been calling for a by-election of the whole party. Right?
They can wait the next two years for that.
But B, again, I'm not concerned, as a citizen, I'm not concerned about the urgency of attending to party details. That's y'all business. Y'all have to figure out how to manage government and politics at the same time. As a citizen, my duty is to ensure that constitutional provisions are followed, right? But more than that, intervention then becomes a tool, right? A tool in a war machinery. I don't like that. even as not a member of the PLP party, I think it's problematic at the party level to be perpetuating these models of power.
But I think for me, my opinion is that a lot of the Bahamians aren't really concerned about all of that particular things that's going on. We are more concerned about the issues that are really affecting the Bahamas and its people. Generally, just the survival mode that we are in terms of even being paid, getting our currencies and getting certain things to be done, children off to school. We're talking about issues of real importance. People aren't able to pay their light bills, mortgages, banks taking people's houses. These are the real issues that we are talking about today in terms of with the government, any governing party. Are we going to put our people first, or are we going to continue just talking about political views and political parties? Are we going to really focus on issues that can help lift our country, or are we just going to be victims to the decisions that these people are going to continuously make?
There you go. That leads us to one of our headlines today. Pintard accuses government of neglect, claims government an abysmal failure on Hurricane Dorian relief on GB. Now, let's stick a pin there because Hurricane Dorian was 2019, right? Which gave 2019 to 2020 is 1 year, 2020 to 2021 is 2 years, right? So they had 2.5 good years. In fact, they had more than that. They short the FNM administration shortened its own time to deal with Dorian. So I don't want to focus on the abysmal failure on Dorian because both parties will take the blame for
cross,
that.
Across the board.
Right. We're not going to be distracted by that. But I think it is a fair critique that Pintard, that the government can be accused of neglect, right? There's another headline that I'm looking for that use the word urgency. The government lacks a sense of urgency. And I think that is a very sound critique. But I think, again, that critique could be laid across both parties, right? The last administration and this one. But surely we can focus on this party right now. Does the PLP show us that they understand the urgency of the work in front of them, right? So you talk about people trying to figure out how to pay mortgages and keep the homes that they've invested in over 10, 15, 20 years.
Daily survival.
Right. Does the government understand the need, the urgency of creating and legislating policies, right, for banks?
Mm-hmm.
To support their customers in this economic time, right?
Who has 90% of the equity most times, and their houses are over 2 years of payment. I mean, you've been paying your bills with the banks for over 30 years or maybe 20 years. Let's say you were delinquent within 6 months to a year, and a partner like that just decides to say that you're going to have to vacate the premises, et cetera, rather than figuring out solutions in terms of even if you can't afford to pay the bill that you normally would pay, let's reduce the payment.
Mm-hmm. We thought that Hurricane Dorian would be the spotlight for the government to see the housing crisis, right? There's been no sense of urgency in responding to the real housing needs of Bahamians. We got one story coming up about Partana. A progress Partana is making, right? And even this particular project, we heard this project announced at COP20 for the conference before. And they built a home in New Providence, apparently.
But we didn't know the cost. They didn't say the cost.
Hold on. We don't even know where the house is, Ian. We don't even know where the house is.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we get there, right?
I want to know if this is one of those FDX movies that we're seeing.
Mm.
All right, guys, that's the music. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to reshuffle the cabinet. We're going to look at these stories in the headline. I think we're going to continue talking a bit about this lack of a sense of urgency and whether the government understands the pace at which it needs to work to match the pace at which the citizens need to work to meet their obligations. And we're going to a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Pay the rent, home down here. Here's what she said. Stressful Saturday stress. Even Sunday, my only rest day. Stress.
Girl, Junior just showed me bulb.
You mean he take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh. you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know, she always say that's my good child.
So what are you doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas. Then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's the Battle of the Bronx, sponsored by Canoe. And you decide who wins. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so strap on your gloves and join the fight. It's easy. Just download the Canoe app, vote for Mammogram Access Program, the Grand Bahama Cancer Society, or Sister Sister, or go to the Battle of the Bra event page on Facebook and vote. Each vote is just $5. Polls open on October 2nd and close on October 26th. Vote as many times as you want. You can even vote for all three. It's the Battle of the Bra. The winner will be announced on Friday, October 27th at the Pink Lotus Affair at Blair House.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
One day, here's what she had to see. Life's been unkind in so many ways. I'll be evicted with 5 children, yes, hardly a cent to pay the rent. Hung down head, here's what she said. Oh, how I wish I could fly. I'd fly away so high.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. There we go. We're just going to wait for the music to die off. I love Phil Stubbs, but y'all going to listen to him more than you listen to me because he is truly a legend. Gentlemen, we are back. Does the government understand the urgency with which it must move? Let me touch on another story, because I don't think they understand it. In today's Tribune, the bottom fold, there's an article, North Andrus to get power relief from BPL. To get power relief is in quotations. I will read from it briefly. Bahamas Power and Light will try to relieve power woes in North Andrus with rental generators while working to create a new power station on the island. I just want to say that the fire took place before the Bahama Games. We're going to spin over to page 4. The unreliability of electricity in North Andrus intensified after a catastrophic fire destroyed a BPL station there in July. When they say destroyed, the entire station burned down. Right? Power troubles since then have been sufficiently significant to prompt residents to contemplate life-changing decisions. Now, I want to say to the person who wrote that lettre sweeting, I just want to know what you mean when you say they have been sufficiently significant to prompt residents to contemplate life-changing decisions. It is 2023, cousin. Anybody who don't have continuous flow of power, that's a significant issue. We have allowed the government to shift the entire way that we think so that what they're doing makes sense. See, for what they do to make sense, you have to shift the way that you perceive the world. I am the problem. I expect power to flow continuously. See, I know that electricity doesn't work unless it's a continuous flow of current. Somebody at BPL has been trying to convince me that the power awakened. Even if you only get it in 2-hour blocks, you still have power. We have frustrated the Bahamian people to the point where common sense don't make sense.
Well, is the mindset is that Old Islands is a reflection to being primitive? It's how you look at it. I mean, think about it.
It couldn't be. It couldn't be.
We're in the 21st century.
It gets better. Here's another article in the same paper on page 4. Remediation work has begun at a BPL diesel spill in Nicholstown, Andres. And if I'm not mistaken, Duran Holding Limited Company already said they sued. Hold on. Over what they claim is a spill that they discovered in 2022?
A spill? You say a spill?
Oil spill. This will be we talk about a diesel spill now.
You're saying Exuma?
No, this is in Andres. Let me read the headline again for you, Mr. Munnings. Remediation work has begun at a BPL diesel spill in Nicholstown, Andres. Now watch this. The East Bay in Andres already started suing, top of this year or last year. They indicated that there's a 2022 spill that had not been appropriately addressed. And then they brought to our attention a 2019 spill that they said that they long time brought to both the corporation and the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection's attention, but nobody has dealt with. I don't even think this government understands what the word urgency means. Mm. Right? The people, I just want to take a moment to say to the people in North Andres, I don't know what you're going to do, but if I were you, I would move all of my business operations to the new gymnasium that they built. See, let's talk about the sense of urgency. They were building that gymnasium for Bahama Games competition to take place in and preparation, pre-qualifiers to take place in. The gymnasium finished yet? It ain't finished yet.
No, it ain't finished yet.
But my
and you ain't got no power. What I want to understand is, do you have the power to run the facility? Do y'all even know means?
The question we should be asking, the real true question is, does BPL has a hedge program set in place to deal with reserving the cost of what we pay for fuel?
Hold on, pause. I don't know why you asked me the question this morning, because I know, and everybody in the Bahamas should know by now, that on October 4th of 2022, the Prime Minister of the Government of the Bahamas announced the shift from the fuel hedge policy to the fuel surcharge rate increase policy. Now, I heard some people use the language like the hedge policy is on pause, right? Like they paused it.
Why?
I don't know, but pause.
That's important. I mean, consumers need to know. I mean, I'm looking at it as that history would reflect during the pandemic when planes weren't able to fly the way they ought to. Persons who had the hedge, the airlines, they expanded their businesses exponentially, right? And the one who didn't have a hedge, we saw that fuel went from, let's say, anywhere to maybe $400 a barrel. So the cost of those big companies to operate those planes were like too
astronomical.
Yeah. So they had to find themselves even merging with other companies to survive.
Yeah.
But the company that did have a hedge in place, they were able to expand their business, and today they are one of the leading companies right now that are flying. So I'm asking the BPLs, why aren't we locked in to a hedge? And then secondly, who is in control of purchasing these fuels, and what interests do these people currently have? We're not calling any names, but I'm just saying.
All right. See, That takes us to another article in today's paper. BPL upgrades will lower bills, CEO says. Let me read from it briefly, right? Consumers can expect lower light bills in the coming months as Bahamas Power and Light plans to upgrade its systems to allow it to burn cheaper fuel, according to BPL CEO Siobhan Cambridge. Quote, basically what we're doing is a combination of things that are going on as well as things in the market, Cambridge said yesterday. During this off-season, we're going to be doing a lot of maintenance upgrades and upgrading some of the system and to burn that fuel more efficiently. That should result in lower bills for consumers as far as the fuel and the market prices allow. I want to stick a pin right there. The CEO of BPL is telling us that BPL upgrades will lower bills, but he has not mentioned yet in the article the fact that the fuel surcharge rate increase policy should reflect that we should be seeing at this point a stabilization of the rate increase, and then we should see the rate begin to drop, right? What we do know is that the rate will not return to the pre-October 2022 rate by February 2024, but I want to go to producer. Let's go to the caller. What I want to know is, why didn't the CEO mention that we should also begin to see a decrease in our bills because we will see a decrease in the surcharge rate reflected in the schedule? He also, I can continue to read the article after we get back from this call to see if he indicates what the fudge will look like post February 2024. But let's go to the caller and then we get back to the article. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
Spock here. Now, Ms. Green, Ms. Green, I heard you say about the Bahamians' frustration. Give me a moment here to explain
No. Hold on. We talking specifically to matters that highlight what appears to be a lack of a sense of urgency in government operations with systems that interact, that deal specifically with Bahamians' ability to live, to survive, to do things.
That's where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, you heard me talk about starting the farm the other day with the 8 acres of land I got. Then I had to purchase a vehicle to help me take stuff to and from the farm. I got the vehicle. Now I got a license, the new vehicle. Got it insured, got it inspected, goes in to get it licensed. 2 months now, I can't have a sticker on my windshield or a plate, because they have no plates in the Bahamas. They'll call me when the plate comes.
But they give you a letter, right?
They give me something to hold on, and every time I go down the road, the police pulling me down.
And you got
to
show them.
And I got to show them to the police why I don't have a plate that's sticker on, because they don't know that there's no plates down the road traffic. But they're spending millions of dollars to relocate road traffic. That's another thing. Second thing, frustration. We decided that we are waiting on the Ministry of Waste or Agriculture to do the access road to the land. So my tractor man decided yesterday, 11 o'clock, he picking me up. He carrying his tractors down there, and the tractor got on my portion of the acreage to start clearing my land, although they ain't fixed the access road to the land. So we got started yesterday morning while my daughter was in town. We wanted to take pictures of the tractor started up. Got the tractor down there waking up. Now we got to pay the lease for the land, because they say you can't pay the lease for the land because they ain't fixed the roads yet. When they fix the road yet, then they can pay the lease for the land. But I had the land from 2021. Now I call agriculture. The operator answers the phone, and guess what? From about 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning, nobody answering the phones.
I got you, Sparky.
That's frustration. I
got you. Thank you for sharing your story. When I tell you that I already heard this story last weekend, I want to say good morning to Uncle. Good morning. Did y'all ever hear the story about how Cowpen Road came into being? Y'all ever heard the story about how Cowpen Road came into being?
No, go ahead.
Well, farmers and interested individuals had to come together and organize for the road to get cut themselves. Okay. This Farmers Association, this lack of a sense of urgency is not new, is all I want to say, Sparky. I want to thank you because you highlight an important point that ain't nothing changed, right? It appears as if the government has the inability to engender a sense of urgency within the public service unless the matter at hand is detrimental to the government or the administration's agenda. I just want to throw that out on the table, BB, because we ain't finished talking about BPL yet.
But you're hitting some serious topics, you know, but we are already detrimental to ourselves at this point, right?
That's another thing. Bahamians mashing it up.
So
a lot of people are relying on larger governmental systems to regulate the spaces that they operate in to minimize the negative impact of the cultures that we practice in. But we can't even rely on that. It appears as if the government actors of people affiliated with government agencies and agendas are frustrating the process.
So, Aaron, we look at the cost of what it costs to buy food in our country today.
Mm-hmm.
We talk as from a national perspective, food security, right?
Yeah.
How much money has really been spent into food security? We look at 9/11, we see pandemic, we see Dorian. We see every country who understands the pace for survival really push money into agriculture, really push money into these incentives and try to get people on the ground and growing stuff. You walk into a grocery shop today, the reality is $150 is less than a half a bag of grocery, literally. And it's crazy. You're saying that the Bahamian citizens have to eat unhealthy things, literally to survive. I'm talking about noodles and things, and even the cost of noodles going up. So what are we really doing in here as a country? What are we really doing?
Citizens
are really, really frustrated with $265 is the minimum wage. $265.
It don't even make any sense.
It don't make sense.
I'm going to go kidnap two men. Y'all got to change the law on marriage because I'm going to need two men to maintain a household. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
But you coming over, boy. You coming over.
You got to convince. Can we get up?
Economics, listen. People,
you watch football now, you watch basketball, you coming over there.
People, economics changes out, can even change our identities.
Anyway,
yes, sir.
Anyway, let's change this conversation.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about Aaron Daly.
Okay.
Still there.
Yeah.
He ain't change.
Still there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2x4s on a span that long is an indication that somebody don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
The trust
has not been rebuilt.
No, it's on the ground.
Not yet.
Maybe they'll be looking for money. They need money to
Wow. I think it's worse than that. Yes.
What? Perhaps the trust needs to be rebuilt.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The state has to figure out how to engender trust in government agencies and state mechanisms.
Was there a bond? Yeah. The question is, was there a bond that was placed on that? Is there an insurance that would ensure the fact that that incident occurred, that they have the mobilization to finish it?
Wait, you're right.
So let's not just look at the project sitting there. Let's look at, do they have the funds allocated to do that?
You worried about the politics? What about the young people in the school, people in sports programs?
And our preaching about the value of education.
We don't believe it.
See? Now, A, I'm thinking now, if things at this point would have changed, if those guys who came to expect that building, I'd came in there an hour earlier.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, things have changed right now.
It might have been dead if they was expecting.
Thank you very much, caller.
Okay, babe.
Absolutely. I see. Government is like a monolith. It's a huge mechanism with multiple moving parts, right? And those at the top have to figure out how to coordinate those moving parts. So they operate as effectively and efficiently as possible. B, so they don't thwart, they don't contradict, they don't buck up against other ministries' work and cause unnecessary confusion unnecessary, you know, wasting of resources. Like, for instance, we pave the road and then one utility comes back 2 weeks later and say, oh, we didn't know y'all was paving this. We had this on our schedule, right? Who is coordinating the work of the government to ensure that it moves as effectively and efficiently as possible, centering the citizens in all of its work, right?
That's a good point you're making, Aaron. And another one is, I know you have you know you have a passion for when it comes to the roads. It's funny that all of the partners, whether it be private or government, whether it be from Cable Bahamas, whether it be Alive, whether it be BTC, whatever corporations that they do have, when we are doing the road, why aren't you're saying the coordinating, right? Putting the joint boxes on the sidewalks and you can actually access these pipelines and stuff that you have going on. And then we only find time to want to patch or pave during the daytime as if these roads can't be paved in the evening or the nighttime.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. When people are sleeping, the roads could be caught off. And when you wake up in the morning, you have fresh roads.
With proper lighting, with proper road signage
everything.
With proper traffic management teams, even for the night, that's when you're going to need it the most.
Police on every end of the corner,
right?
On the two ends of the corners.
In the nighttime, you being aware of speeders, so a quarter mile out, you have a point where you have flashing lights, you have someone there to flag people down, to let them know road works ahead, right? These are the sorts of things that you do to manage these operations. But here we are now, people all across the country, the people in Andrus, and I want to say this, what is happening to Andrus people is criminal, okay? And the MP for North Andrus, y'all need to go and figure out where he is, take him to Brave, and tell him he's not wanting, since Brave is the king of all things. Tell him he's not wanting, right? You running around here about we have to go to convention before by-election. No, y'all need to fix what's going on in Andrus before you go to convention.
Andrus or the country?
No, let's just start with Andrus. Because what has been happening to the people in Andrus is criminal. It is criminal. What do you mean? It's October. See, this ain't even like it's October 25th and they just get the lights working at Village and Shirley Street for the road project that was initially what scheduled to be done by September 2022. And then December 2022. And then we just gave up on giving people a date and y'all just get the lights. All the sidewalks aren't done yet. Right?
The question is frustration good or in governance? That's the question. And then the question is, how much is enough? Tell the people to say, hey, it's enough, it's enough.
Right. And do the people have the wherewithal to organize outside of government? Do these communities have what it takes to do that? Or do we have something even worse going on? Are elements of parties coming in and destabilizing community development for the benefit of the party? And if that's happening, if that's what's happening, then the lack of attention to Andrus, given you want everybody to divert their eyes and their gaze to you, the party, and you, the government, but you can't make sure they have power. You know what it is? It's October 2023, and you're going to tell me that these boys, you just renting generators for them? Surely you diverted resources. Remember when we were all having blackouts? Right? We knew that we were affected because they had to divert resources to Abaco. We knew in New Providence were affected because they had to divert resources to Exuma with the extreme weather and the flooding that occurred after that. God, you know, that's a weather event. We had to divert resources to Andrus because of the fire. But you're telling me now that the Andrus people still suffering. And let me tell you what I mean by suffering. When people in their 70s in Andrus get up and tell you they will not vote, they can't stand these people, they ready to sue. When 72-year-old people in Andrus start protesting at that level, you failing.
But the question is, does government take them serious in terms of how many people are located in those particular areas? Because there was a saying one time, I think it would have been Ragged Island or something in the back there when the storm had came. I think
let me reiterate
it
for you.
We had
statements from deputy prime ministers and leaders of the opposition. So when it was Minnis, he was the leader of the opposition, and he made some wild statement about how, you know, maybe we don't We don't need to repopulate these islands. And Brave Davis said the same thing. Oh, maybe we need to. Do you know what Ragged? Hold on. Wait, pause, Ian. Do you know what Ragged Island is? Ragged Island is an archaeological and anthropological center of research and work to understand the movement of people throughout these islands over the last 400 years.
Aaron, I think government's inability to think futuristic for our people is what has been stagnating our country for a very long time. We have a lot of brilliant people that lives and that are Bahamians who are passionate about helping our country. Look like, they, you know, we stack up all the odds against them and they either stay where they are schooling or leave the country not to return again and say, well, you know what, just forget about coming home to the Bahamas. And the parents tell them, well, you see what's going on. Cheap, you just stay where you're at.
Parents are preparing their kids to live somewhere else.
It's crazy.
Let me reiterate that. We've had Brave Davis when he's a deputy prime minister and Minnis when he's a leader of the opposition. Let come out of their mouths that maybe we need to stop thinking about redeveloping these and developing these islands. The value that these islands, Long Island, Joaquin, Ragged Island, that they hold is immeasurable. But here's what the problem is. The problem is that the political culture has consumed governance, right? And Westminster culture, convention, policy, rules. That's not the problem in and of itself. The problem is that the political culture is mediocre. The political culture is deficient.
Brain dead.
Right. They can't even project. They can't think beyond 5 years even.
But the foreigners are coming in with 50-year plans.
There you go. In fact, I didn't even plan on saying this today, but I want to tell you all something. And producer, now may be a good time for a break, but I can say this and then I can get to the text. When I drive on the streets of New Providence, when I move around and interact with people, is one thing that comes to mind nowadays. Is any foreigner coming to this country has to drive on these roads with other Bahamians, go to stores. God forbid you have to interact with a government agency as a tourist. I mean, normally that's pretty smooth. But even in that space, you could get a sense of how you as a tourist is prioritized over citizens. Any foreigner coming to this country knows that the Bahamas is ripe for occupation. We are ripe for occupation. And see, something y'all thinking, oh, the U.S. is never going to come into our country and occupy us. But y'all don't understand how occupation works. Military occupation is one thing. When a foreign culture can occupy your mind.
If ready to control your people.
They don't need to go to war to control your people. Right? And I don't think, I know we don't understand how urgent the matter is.
What they consume, what they think, what they do, what they dress, what they dance, and that's already
And how easy it is to shift culture by introducing a trend, a product into the space in the right way, how easy it is to just shift culture. Because we drive how we think. We speak how we think. Just a simple observation. The gaps exist and how easy it is to take control of our minds and then our systems. Politicians have done it. But they've convinced us that there's a deputy prime minister.
But Aaron, look at our economic position, yeah. where we are situated. The fact that we utilize the U.S. dollar on a daily basis
yeah.
compared to our brothers and sisters within the Caribbean. We see other persons like places from Dubai, the Saudi prince, et cetera, right? We see the vision of these leaders propel their country to different heights. We're looking at the Bahamas, 700 islands, reefs and keys, considered to be paradise amongst all of the other countries, right? Geographically, because where we set up. We don't have governments to think about things that we can place into these islands that would connect these islands in some sort of way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We look at Freeport has been having their problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we see Abaco has a boost. We say that the employment isn't a problem in Abaco, but employment is a problem in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we could actually create a bridge? Because people do it all the time. that will connect the west part of Grand Bahama, which is closest to Abaco, into Abaco.
Why they don't creating have a ferry? A border, why they don't have a ferry?
Creating a border that Bahamians are now able to access back and forward to go over there and work and actually come back home.
Why can't Grand Bahamians take a ferry to wake in Abaco every morning?
That's another thing.
Or take a ferry.
If you're talking about housing, you're talking about not enough people to work. And you said they have a problem in terms of employment in Freeport, so let them go to Abaco and work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to ask you a question because it's a great idea, right? We could chop it up and come up with a lot of other great ideas. When is the last time you heard a member of government use the term archipelagic exterior?
We got to see. See, what do you think about that?
I'm not familiar with the term at all.
You know the Bahamas is an archipelago?
Yes.
And the capital city, Nassau, on the island New Providence, is like in the center of the archipelago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so then everything else is in like in the exterior. The way that we operate is like we have an archipelagic exterior, right? The family islands, that's what they are. I put to you that we won't see any real innovative, radical, economic, structural, communal development in our family islands because those people who make the decisions don't even understand what an archipelago
what
is.
What it means, like what it means.
And what it means to have an archipelagic exterior, right? We have people on the ground every day saying, oh, we got to get rid of Bahamas Air. Bahamas Air is a waste of money. We don't understand that we have an archipelagic exterior.
Aaron, look at it from this.
And we don't have, hold on, and we don't have any hospitals on family islands, although I heard some politician speak referencing hospitals across the archipelago, like they existed, right? Like that's how they try to twist the narrative to suit their agenda. You have to have a state-run air system, flight system.
Definitely.
Because you don't have hospitals to save lives on the family islands. These people are citizens too, and there should be equal and equitable access to state resources. That's why you have to have a Bahamas Air. The politicians can't even answer the question when people say, why do you have to have a Bahamas Air? Because they don't know what an archipelagic exterior is.
But Aaron, look at some of our brothers in the north, right? Let's look at those countries that have snow constantly, just like how we have sunlight constantly. They have their athletes, let's say the athletes, right?
Yeah.
Who got to train on a daily basis. Look at those islands that we have. Couldn't we have a sports island, an island designated just to bring in these particular persons, solicit that they come in? Sports hospital is located there. Training facilities, employment for our people could come in with all of the physiotherapy and all of these other things that you would need, an airport, et cetera.
And bring tourism on board and then open it up as an international training space, right? Like
designated just for that.
On off-season, all athletes come to the Bahamas to do their restorative,
millions,
their prep work,
billions,
right?
Billions, billions, billions.
This is what I'm saying.
Billions. And these are the kind of ideas we need in our country. Look at on the Bahamas port that's located here in the city of Nassau. You mean to tell me that we aren't going to be invested in a cruise ship that can hit inter-islands, a seven-day cruise that tourists could come here for a night, go onto that cruise ship, do a seven-day tour throughout certain parts of the islands, right, as a cruise right here in the Bahamas? We only relying on foreign boats to come in here, allowing their boats to be registered in here. They're dropping all of the feces within our waters because I don't see the pump trucks going out there pumping them. So what are we really doing? Are we creating millionaires? Are we creating the opportunities for Bahamians?
I think
are we just saying that we're allowing these persons to come in? They have a $50 million project they're doing to do on these islands.
Here's my thing.
And how is that going to trigger the effect of the Bahamians itself?
So
how?
So two ideas, right? Here's what I'm saying. Cruise ships are coming and waste management is a massive issue, right? Why haven't we seen the government initiating, facilitating the creation of world standard, locally owned, locally operated, world standard waste management companies for cruise ships?
Good question.
And, right?
Largest boat registry in the world, by the way, too.
Let's go to the caller producer. Caller, we coming to you right now. Oh. 1 second. Ah, there you go. Dear caller, we are out of time in this part of the hour. I read these texts very quickly before we switch over to the second half. You notice Mr. Newry ain't say much at all this half. I wonder what he have in store for us in the next half. A quick text, Aaron, I haven't had working street lights in my road for 3 years. Morning, guys. There are ferries that existed go from McLeanstown, East Grand Bahama to Crown Haven, North Abaco frequently. But where is North Abaco in relation to the work, the center of work, the residential areas? Is there a public transportation system? Do the taxis in Abaco cost as much or more than the taxis in New Providence? Another text, morning, Aaron. It is expensive to catch a ferry to Abaco from Grand Bahama. $100 round trip. No, that ain't the type of ferry I talking about. That ain't the type of ferry talking about. It's like we building the country that's not for Bahamians. Anyway, that's the text. I get to the rest on the other side of the break. I hope Mr. Newry lets us talk, Mr. Munnings.
No bear mind reach.
I see a coup in our future. Anyway, stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Even Sunday, my only rest day. Stress.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.